Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Hockey Writers Live. I'm your host, Chris Wassel, and for the next hour, we're going to attempt to talk hockey. We really are. We're going to make a concerted effort to talk about even the NHL CBA, even though it hurts. And hurts. And still hurts. Wait a minute, hold on. Let me pull this giant six-foot pipe out of my... Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, the phone number is always 1-347-826-7358. We'll be with you till 9 o'clock. Ross Benander is enjoying the Texas sun. I mean, tea. I mean, something. He is on assignment tonight. With me, as always, is Timmy Rosenthal and Joshua Smith. We'll be talking about these topics and Chris's potential targets of trolling New York City on Tuesday night.
Oh, yeah.
You're a daring man, sir.
There are few that have the cojones to walk through a Rangers bar in a Devil's jersey like I do.
Well, don't forget, it's also a Penguins bar, too.
Oh, that goes without saying, ladies and gentlemen. Foley's the unofficial Penguins bar of New York City. They have not actually won a playoff series since the infamous incident from last year. So, kids, let's be a lesson to you. Do not try to jinx the ultimate in jinxing. Just trolling, and that's that. But got a lot to get to tonight. Some good stuff, some bad, and some ugly. And that's how hockey world kind of is. AHL, KHL, college hockey, some of the college hockey leagues are starting to take shape. Michigan still stinks. I almost forgot. I'm not playing this for any reason at all. No. But we'll save something for later in the show, maybe in the archives. I did want to say this. As sort of an update. I want to thank everybody for the outpouring this week of support. Especially for the Hurricane Sandy relief effort. I'm absolutely speechless at all the support from so many different states, countries. I mean, it's mind-blowing to see what is coming in and more that is coming in. I mean, you have C-130s full of supplies coming from California still. You have people being bused from all over the Northeast coming to New York City and New Jersey. We took another shot during the week from this nor'easter sort of what the heck is, why is it snowing in November storm. We took its best. There were a few more power outages and such. But I want people really to focus their energy on what's going on Long Island. And I know sports radio in the area has touched on this during the week. And I think Mike Francesa has talked about it so much that his ears and tongue has fallen off. But it has a hockey impact. Could you imagine if there was an NHL season and this happened? Think about it for a second. Just pause and let it sink in for a bit. What would have happened? And that's, you don't want to say in some ways the Tim Thomas lockout is a blessing, but you have to say this, it could have been much worse. It really could have. Also, we did want to pay a special tribute, and we will do this either at the end of the show or the archive. It is Veterans Day. Don't give me the crap about calling it Remembrance Day. Only Canada that could come up with something like that. I'm sorry, Canadians. I don't get it. It's Veterans Day. Remembrance Day makes it sound like they're dead. There's still people fighting for our countries that are plenty alive. Just saying.
Well, they do have to, especially in Montreal, they do have to kind of forget about the greatest moment in Bell Center history, so why not celebrate Remembrance Day?
That's true. That wouldn't have been the Bell Center screw job, would it?
Of course it is the Montreal screw job. I mean, those who know me well know that a wrestling moment is the greatest moment in Bell Center history. By the way, Donovan McNabb might be needed in San Francisco right now.
Oh, jeez. I'm not going there. But I will tell you this. God, if you're in Philadelphia, aren't you kind of glad as a Flyers fan your team isn't playing right now? Just say it.
Actually, I don't know, because, I mean, they...
The Sixers aren't that good if they got drubbed by the Knicks. And I'm sorry, yeah. The Knicks aren't that good either.
But, I mean, there's in their own alternate universe anyway, so it really doesn't make a whole hell of a lot of a difference, I would think.
It's true.
Now, by not having hockey, at least they can hope, or they can say that the Flyers would have been good. If the Flyers were playing right now and it was disastrous, I think that the entire city could implode in a hail of batteries thrown at each other.
I'll say this. It would be interesting in some of these markets. We'd find out if Columbus was halfway decent, which we know they're not. It was nice to be on FanJunkies.net a couple of weeks ago and interviewing there. a couple of their assistant coaches, which was nice. And we asked it point blank. You didn't want to say it, but it had to be said. We asked the simple question. You have 8 goalies in your system. How the heck are you going to figure out which one's the actual starter? The question was answered pretty articulately. But none of those goalies in Columbus right now is really an NHL starter or even close. They're not.
Just ask Sergei Bobrovsky.
I feel bad for Bobrovsky because he's being thrown in the situation where their defense, I mean, your top defensive pairing is awful. Your second pairing's not much better. They do have some offensive upside. Don't get me wrong. But when your leading scorer is likely going to be a guy that has 50 to 55 points, that's not going to cut it. I mean, we've seen that with teams, last year. There was a couple teams that their leading scorer was under 60 points. You cannot make the playoffs in this league with that low of production. With that's just a glaring lack of production that you cannot have in the NHL.
And it's that kind of production that's really going to that's really going to make Bobrovsky struggle. I mean, he's not exactly tearing it up in the KHL right now. And, a lot of what he did with the Flyers, you're a pretty talented team, a pretty deep team that was rolling three good lines of competent scorers. Any hope that Bobrovsky had of proving himself as a starting goaltender is really going to fall apart just because of the lack of scoring. And you think Quick had it bad in Los Angeles last year? Just wait until the Blue Jackets are back on the ice.
I'll put it to you this way. I forgot the number that we had running. The Kings at one point were averaging 1.91 goals a game at home last year. 1.91 at home, where you should score a little more. Granted, their road average – oh, wait. Their road average at the time was only 2.24. So that's not really too good either. And yet they still won a Stanley Cup. Never mind. I'm still bitter. I'll admit it. Maybe the first one. There's still that part of me that would like to have seen what would have happened if it was called a little bit more down the middle in that series. I do wonder, though, with what has been going on in the CBA lack of negotiations the last, particularly today, where they met for an hour and said, hey, you know what, we're going to just do dinner and that's it. We're out.
It amazes me that people responsible for the operations of a $3 billion industry can have such little regard for progress that they call it off after an hour. It amazes me.
Look, this isn't the first time. I mean, remember the three proposals and they left 10 minutes later?
Yeah.
Yep.
You could go up and down the line with the CBA folks. This is the CBA segment of the show. Don't worry, we're not going to spend that much time on it because it hurts us too. That and the fact that there's a lot of other hockey going on that we want to get to because that's what the show's about. And, of course, we'll do a little spotlight on the hockey writers as we're going to start doing every week from here on out because, honestly, as some guy from NWA said, what name? No, I don't know. Dr. Dre, the Hockey Writers is the label that pays me. There's a lot to this, and then there isn't. That's the problem with these negotiations. There always seems to be an issue in waiting that everybody saw coming, except for the people negotiating. It's amazing. It absolutely astounds me that this league hasn't been run into the ground. I'm not one to pick sides, but I have to say Donald Fear is right in this sense. You're really going to get this petty with the negotiations? We saw what happened on Friday. If you didn't hear about it, it was on Puck Daddy. Where basically the NHL threw a little hissy fit and said that Donald Fear with an offer that was made. Only 3 minutes later to have every player and, you know, mind you, players are at these negotiating sessions, you know, the NHLPA after all. And they called BS on it, and rightfully so. It's something that you cannot make up. And it makes you want to hit yourself in the head until you knock yourself out. That's actually what these negotiations are doing to people. You want to actually sit there and just hit yourself with a blunt object until you can't remember it anymore. And it's sad because the people that it's really affecting and those are the people that should be able to sit there with the baseball bats and knock some sense into these guys. I mean, they make progress, and then they take two steps back. I mean, it really is like a bad country music song or a Taylor Swift album.
By the way, we will Donovan McNabb is needed in San Francisco, but before that, he will probably be trending on Twitter. I kid you not.
Oh, God. God help us. That's like saying Pelle Lindbergh is trending on Twitter for all the wrong reasons.
Oh.
All right. All
yep.
right. Yeah, we went there. Let's be a lesson. You go, Josh. You have a level of rhetoric that is derailing the process. And what happened Friday cannot be underestimated. That is going to set it back a little bit more. It really is. I'm still about 50-50 that they get this done. To me, in order to have a season start on December 1st, they have to have a deal done this week. You're going to have to get all those players over. People also forget that next Thursday is some holiday that, well, I hold more in respecting Christmas. And that, of course, is Thanksgiving. Or as I like to know it, Chris eats 2 5-pound turkey legs and tries to gorge himself to death all in one day.
Sounds about right for all of us.
Uh-huh. There's a legend out there that, we'll probably be doing a Black Friday No Gold Sports Show where we give things that we're thankful for and the such. So do check the time and listings for that. but attempting to slide away from the bad juju from the NHL lockout. I do believe we have some enshrinement ceremonies going on this week. It's nice to see that you're going to have the Hockey Hall of Fame honoring people. I still don't. There's some certain things I don't understand. And one of them is going to be the fact that you're going to see players and owners together in a place. And it's not a surprise why the negotiations are moving because of what's going on this week at the Hockey Hall of Fame.
I think the real funny part is going to be that owners and teams are technically not allowed to have any contact with the players during the lockout. So, all you need is one comment from one side to the other and watch the media jump all over that one.
Well, right, that's what it's pretty much been, I think, for the past few months, to be honest.
Yeah, all it takes is one leak. Oh, wait, there's lots of those all the time.
Just get even, Jeremy Jacobs leaning over to say something to even a guy on a different team and watch all the cameras catch that one and throw it all over the place that, oh, look, the owners are trying to tamper and this is, fear will jump on it. They'll go back and forth and it'll slow things down even more. It seems like both sides are just looking for anything to try to go after the opposition. And that's inevitable. Somebody's going to either say something or see something or allegedly overhear something, and that'll be another stalled negotiation.
And this is that's kind of the problem. Now, for us, unfortunately, it's probably going to be on the NHL Network, right? I would hope so, because half the time you can't find out what's going on, but.
But if it's not, I'm sure they'll be showing an episode of Oil Change and we can get caught up on Edmonton.
Oh, God. But for the fans up in Canada, it's on tomorrow on TSN2. The TV coverage starts at 7:30. I did want to go through the inductees this year. By the way, Scott Stevens is not being inducted again, although I wish he was. I hear he's still pretty good. Don't worry, Patrick Elias will be a Hall of Famer, so I'll have that to hold on to. And some guy named Berger, who I think they should waive the waiting period for many reasons.
I mean, they did it for Gretzky, right?
I'm thinking
and they did it for Lemieux.
Yeah, I'm thinking under this rationale. If you change the game for one player, that player should have his eligibility waived.
Sean Avery's eligibility will be waived. Yes.
Yeah.
Sean Avery will be eligible. He won't get a vote, but he'll be eligible.
Things Avery would say about Berger. It's tough.
Very.
Now, all right, let's go through some of these inductees because. Look, they're all worthy in their own right. Now, it is a funny sort of list. You look at these players. There's only one pure sniper. I mean, I know Joe Sakic has 600 goals, and I know Matt Sundin has 564. But other, in the late portion of Sakic's career, he wasn't known as much of a scorer. He was actually more of a playmaker, and people don't realize that. A very underrated passer. Adam Oates was the quintessential passer.
No one can deny that. One of the best face-off men ever in the history of the league, too.
Yeah, just ask the New Jersey Devils how much fun it was during the 0-3 finals. Going up against Adam Oates. I still remember that series. The only reason why that series even went seven is because of Adam Oates.
And of course, JFK Jaeger, which I know you're still used to.
Exactly.
He's still near and dear to your heart.
He can kick me. He sucks. clearly, the pads were helpful to him. But look, you look at some of these players. I mean, obviously, it's kind of funny to watch. Pavel Bure plays for three teams. It's heartbreaking in this sense. The reason why Pavel Bure was let in probably is because of the same reason that Eric Lindros was allowed in. You know, played kind of close to the same amount of games. But the guy scored, you think about it.
Hey, did I lose you guys?
I'm still here, but I don't know about Chris.
Hey, Tim.
Yep, do you still hear me? Because I think Chris got eaten by the gremlins.
Ah.
Yep.
Just as he was talking about Eric Lindros in the Hockey Hall of Fame.
Go figure. Yeah, but... but it's just to get back to our points about the Hockey Hall of Fame, and at least if there's any good coming out of the sport, it's going to be this week. I don't know if you agree, but it can't get much worse, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's nice if there's going to be hockey headlines, or I shouldn't say hockey, but NHL headlines, that there's something positive to put out there, and some glimmer of hope that, hey, this is a good story about hockey, and let's celebrate actual talented players and the game on the ice, and you know, take a look at a handful of guys who really made a difference and really had some spectacular careers out there. It's it's a chance to see some hockey clips, even if they're 10, 15 years old, some electrifying play, some action. So in that respect, yeah, I think this is probably the highlight of the season to date.
Yeah, if you go through some of these players, obviously, Pavel Bure won 3 Rocket Richards and a Calder. Didn't win the Stanley Cup only because of Mark Expletive Messier, and maybe Gregson and Van Helleman and Frazier and et cetera and et cetera. But he carried a team on his back, and of course Curt McLean helped, but I mean, when you look at a guy like Pavel Bure, especially in Florida, did the fans go to see Pavel Bure?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this was a guy that scored 59 goals in 72 games in a season and could have easily had more. I mean, there's fast, and then there's Pavel Bure fast. You couldn't ask him to skate around a circle like in the All-Star Skating Competition, because it wasn't that fast there. But to go from one point on the ice to the other, I don't think there's many players out there that could say they were as fast as Pavel Bure. Especially with the hand.
And that's what I was just going to get to, Chris. The very few who could say that they were that fast didn't have the hands or the shot or the release when they got there.
No, it's absolutely true. I mean, just ask Michael Grabner, ladies and gentlemen, who is the one player that I think speed-wise is the closest to Pavel Bure. He has hands of Jay Pandolfo at times. Just fact. If he had hands as good as Bure's, he'd be a 45 to 50 goal scorer in this league. And the Islanders would be in the playoffs. and Chewbacca would live on Endor. It's just how this kind of goes. But Pavelberry is the first one listed, obviously, on the TSN page, and probably the one guy that I thought deserves to be there more than, say, Cam Neely and Eric Lindros. Eric Lindros deserves to be in a jail somewhere just for what he did to the NHL. Or maybe just in the protocol area for the next 15 years and not 15 minutes. Then you had Adam Oates. Adam Oates, who played 19 years and for about $12 million. No, he didn't do the Mike Sillinger, but he did play for seven teams. The funny thing about Oates is if there was an assist award, he would have won it. But since, unfortunately, they don't have one of those, didn't win any major awards in his career. And here's something funny. He only made the All-Star team once.
It's amazing for a guy who's such a playmaker and had some good, he had some good wings to play with over the course of his career.
Some guy named Brett
maybe
Hall.
Maybe Brett Hall, maybe Peter Bondra, maybe some of these guys.
I hear they were good. In Boston, he had some guy to pass back to by the name of Bork.
And Neely.
My knee.
Ken Danko, just the tip of the iceberg. But really, please direct all your anger towards Alf Samuelson in that regard.
Absolutely. But I mean, it's just weird. It's weird to look at. The guy had 1,079 assists in 1,337 games. and it's not just the last 3 years of his career where he had a face-off percentage well above 55. He set the record for playoff face-off percentage at something insane like 74.2%, which is ridiculous, especially for a playoff run as long as making the Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Finals. It felt like he won every face-off that year. It really did. I had to look back. There were actual face-offs that Adam Oates lost in that final. Really, honestly, they're on tape, too. But, I mean, it's unbelievable. I mean, he even set up some guy named Korea and Solani. Think about it. A couple snipers in Philly, even in Edmonton. People forget that he made a stop in Edmonton towards the tail end. Strange but true. Had a heck of a journey. Then obviously you go down to the third master of ceremonies here in the honoree bucket, and that would be Joe Sakic, who played 20 seasons, first for the Nordiques, and then they accidentally moved to Denver and became the Colorado Avalanche. Here's a guy that's won the Conn Smythe, the Pearson, the Lady Bing, and the Hart. Got a little hardware. One Stanley Cup.
Yeah, to go along with only a couple Stanley Cups. I mean, nothing too shabby to begin
with.
Yeah,
he's the only guy with cup rings going into the Hall of Fame this year.
Mm-hmm.
Go figure how this often works, but it's true. Only guy that has. He has won more hardware and seen encountered more hardware than anyone.
Oh, I wasn't supposed to mention that. Just don't let him near heavy machinery. And
yeah, that was a snowblower, right?
Yeah, it was. But you look at Mr. Sakic. 625 goals. Over 1,000 assists and a little less than 1,400 games played. One of the best wrist shots I have ever seen. I will have nightmares of it from the 0-1 Cup Finals. But that release, literally one of the fastest I've ever seen. It is part of the reason why the Rangers made a $10 million offer to him. And
they tried. They tried
hard. With
the
lot
Rangers
people.
Really did start this whole. No, not going to go. They weren't the only ones. But Joe Sakic was literally the type of player that every kid wanted to be like. And nobody wanted to face as opposition. Fundamentally sound player all around. And probably the most fundamentally sound out of the four players that are being enshrined tomorrow. I mean, if you look overall, Joe Sakic is the best player by far and away on this list.
Absolutely.
Not even close.
Hands down.
Yeah, I mean,
he might not be the most exciting. He might not make you jump out of your seat on a breakaway the way Bure would, but I'll tell you, if you were starting a team, if you were putting together a roster, there's no way I'm picking any of these guys over Joe Sakic.
You're absolutely right. I'm taking Sakic off this list, and I'll start my team. I'll take him. I'll say this right now. I'll take him over Crosby. I'll take him over Malkin. I'll take him over Mario Lemieux even. Simply put, I will take him over a lot of players that people consider higher than Joe Sakic just because of those intangibles. Sakic wins 4 or 5 cups if he was surrounded a little better in those in-between years between 96 and 2001. To me, at least, if not for Patrick Waugh, I can't believe I'm saying this. If not for Patrick Waugh, Colorado might have won a couple more Stanley Cups. As hard as it is to believe to say that, but it's true. Sakic had that type of leadership. It was just amazing on the ice. Far more durable than, say, a Peter Forsberg. Played with a lot more injuries, too. Go figure. The last person on the list, as we're going through, and then we'll get into what's going on at the Hockey Writers this week, is, of course, Mr. Matt Sundin. I have a personal story about Sundin, guys, that is always pretty funny. But, you know, Sundin was a member of the Nordiques. He'll be most remembered for his time in Toronto. And then he had a little bit of a indecision before he finally decided on closing out his career in Vancouver. That didn't go so well. Here's another guy, oddly enough. Just about a straight point per game player. Almost right down the line. 564 goals, 785 assists. In 18 seasons, but had so many memorable playoff runs that just never quite worked out. And the other thing, of course, is they never quite found wingers to flank Sundin in his time in Toronto, and that was a real shame because this was a guy that had, to me at least, had Sakic-like talent, but just never quite had the supporting cast. For whatever reason. Now is not the time to get into why. But to honor the player himself, he really was a player and a leader first and foremost. Again, another guy that really didn't wow you per se, but it just seemed like he was always at the right place at the right time. Didn't matter offensively, defensively. Seemed to always be there. And, you know, other than a little bit of an incident with a banana peel in New Jersey, I'd say his career was all right.
Yeah, I think he did okay. And when you look, even going in, Sundin was the first overall pick. mean, you look at the pressure coming into him in that situation, and the, you know, just the situation he was put in starting in Quebec, and what kind of pressure and what kind of load he had to carry, and then going to Toronto. You know, this guy really handled it well. He handled himself well. He was a solid guy. I mean, you're looking at a pretty good group of guys going into the Hall of Fame this year. And one thing I failed to mention it earlier, but while we're talking draft picks, Adam Oates, he made it through all those teams, all those career milestones, all those achievements undrafted.
People forget that.
Never picked up. All you know, we like to go back and look at the draft analysis after the fact and say, wow, this guy made it to the third round, or, you know, 26 guys got picked before, you know, this goaltender or something like that. And you look at Adam Oates, he was never selected, never drafted, and still fought his way through to make a Hall of Fame career out of it.
That's pretty impressive. You know, Timmy had the privilege of seeing him in person for a few seasons, so.
Quite impressive.
Everybody that I know, and it's funny, marketing-wise, everything pointing to Adam Oates goes back to a certain NHL commercial. That people may see, you know, retroactively played every so often on TV, where Adam Oates literally plays a setup man in the other set. And it's funny how you're talking to a lot of people that are not necessarily hockey fans. They're more casual hockey fans. They remember Adam Oates more for that than anything else, than anything he did on the ice, just for that one commercial. Odd, but it's true. And it also kind of illustrates the bit of a disconnect between your diehard hockey fan and your casual, but bottom line is all four players are deserving. I will say this. Why is Pat Burns still not in the Hall of Fame?
That one still puzzles me.
I will. Every year I will not complain about it, but I will voice my 2 cents. That a guy like him, basically, who did so much outside the game, never mind the inside, you know, while he was a coach. But just the things off the ice that Pat Burns did. And last year was particularly hurtful that he didn't make it. This year was a little bit more of a kick to the gut. In the sense that he really thought he was going to get in, but he wound up splitting the vote with a couple other quote-unquote builders. And NHL really has to do something about this. There's guys that should just be in the Hall of Fame already, and they're not. And you hope that some way and somehow that they write this next year. Because I haven't even, you know what, just for the heck of it, because the beef talking about the CBA, I went looking at this. I actually did a little bit of homework on this. And if this will cooperate, I made a table and a pie chart of sorts, which means it'll never work. Everybody knows how this goes. You go to do actual preparation for your show, and you go to load something up, and it doesn't load.
Whoops.
We're frank about this here. But we'll put this in. We'll take a look at some of the 2013 inductees real fast. And then we'll go into the, the last, say, five to 10 minutes. We'll go into, wow, that's indeed quite the interesting, unfortunate. I just went to punch this up, and literally, it went back to the same page I was at 2 seconds ago. I wish I was making this up, but wait, thinking about it. Loading.
But I'll say this. There are going to be some very interesting candidates next year. I'm going to be very surprised if a couple of these guys don't get in. There's a couple very obvious ones in the hopper. So we're gonna try to go over these real fast. It'll take a few minutes. Like I said, the phone number to call in, 1-347-826-7358. I want to thank the fine folks at the Hockey Writers and, of course, our friends over at Foley's. God, if there is a season, we promise to be over there again like we were last year. Even if there isn't a season, I may be over there anyway, just because. But here's a list of potential guys. There's going to be some fun ones in here. Dave Andrechuk, Rob Blake, obviously Pat Burns, Rod Brind'Amour. There's a fun one. Scott Stevens knocked you out. I'm sorry. Guy Carboneau, Chris Chelios, who's 564 years old. Theo Fleury. Oh, here's one that I just hate miserably because of the picture they used. Bill Guerin as a Ranger. Really? I'm kidding, man. They used me on their own. There's a joke that the way they took this picture through Getty Images, guys, it makes it look like he's a Ranger with the color. But then if you look at the very bottom, you see the orange collar, and, you know, it's kind of obvious.
I think the Rangers tried to overpay him a whole bunch of times. It just never came to fruition.
Oh, yeah. There were several times where they tried to overpay him. They tried to overpay him in 96, I believe, as well. A few other guys of note, Phil Housley, Curtis Joseph, some guy named Paul Kariya. I hear he's pretty good. Here's a funny one. Paul Kariya is one of the very few players out there with more than 900 points that average exactly 1 point a game. He's one of only three guys that has more than 900 points that average exactly 1 point a game in his career. It's something very rare in the NHL. John LeClair, the aforementioned Eric Lindros, who I hope to God never gets in. Kevin Lowe is even on this list, oddly enough. Marcus Naslund, Gary Roberts, Jeremy Roenick. Shanahan will be on this list. Obviously, he didn't get in this year. Keith Tkachuk's another one. There's one guy, though, that I saved for last for a reason. And I guess I'm warming up to the idea of him being a Hall of Famer. I hear he was a pretty good defenseman. Some guy named Scott Niedermeyer. It's weird to look at in this sense. Niedermeyer did win, one Norris Trophy with the Devils. Go figure. He won a Conn Smythe with And, in all, he won four Stanley Cups, was selected to the All-Star team four times. Here's a guy, I think in some ways, and no disrespect to me, this was a guy that had as much or more talent than Ray Bourque. And never quite lived up to it until later in his career. That's my frustration. I know Scott Niedermeyer will probably get in the Hall of Fame, if not next year, the year after. But this is a guy that could have had 1,000 points as a defenseman easily. That's the type of talent that Scott Niedermeyer had. Niedermeyer was one of the fastest skaters on the ice I've ever seen, period. Faster than Pavel Bure. So I said there's a few guys that I can hold that go from point A to point B faster than Pavel Bure. Scott Niedermeyer is one of them.
I can actually argue for that.
And I do think that at some point he's going to get. I think it's next year. He's the guy on there with the most hardware. If you go up and down the list, Marcus Naslund, yeah, okay. Gary Roberts did win the Cup. Jeremy Roenick, your cup is plugged in Patrick Waugh's ear. Brendan Shanahan did win 3 Cups. I understand that. And then you go up.
He's well-deserved, yep.
I know Kevin Lowe won 6, but let's be honest, it's Kevin Lowe.
He's the Robert Horry of the NHL.
I would be willing to say that, to be honest.
But at the same time, Robert Horry has actually made clutch shots during his career, so maybe that's actually being a little too considerate.
Yeah, maybe. Chris Chelios is the other guy that's probably a lock, just because he played 26 seasons. I think that's going to get him in of itself. I mean, I don't know. If you handicap this one early, it's kind of tough. I think you see Andrew Shuck's not getting in this year just because of other players in the class. I could be wrong on this because usually this is a tough one. You're probably going to see. I'm tempted to say Niedermeyer is getting in. I think Shanahan makes it in next year. You have Chelios making it in. One other guy, and then Pat Burns gets in next year. Could be wrong, but seems like that's what it's going to look like. Like I said, last few minutes of the show, folks. So 1-347-826-7358. Is the number to reach us at. You can get to us on Twitter. You can throw some questions via the Hockey Writer, and we'll answer them, or at Chris Wassel, THW. You can find us either on Blog Talk Radio at www.blogtalkradio.com/THW Live, or go on thehockeywriters.com itself. Look for the Happy THW Live logo. And you can download some nice edited shows. We promise we took out all the curse words this time. A few that might have slipped. But speaking of guys, Josh, you would probably be more in tune with this than I would, because I haven't seen the internet in 2 weeks. So... I know there have been a lot of interesting things going on at the Hockey Writers. I've heard all about it. I guess now I'm catching up a little bit here. But I did know that there's some KHL articles on the site.
Yeah, the KHL's been interesting. Has some fun stuff going on over there lately. Nice especially to see. Not that I want to come down on any of the KHL regulars or the guys who've made a career over there, whether they're Russians or some of the North American guys like Kevin Dahlman, who's carved out a pretty good career, setting some league records as far as defensemen go over there. But, man, it's nice to see the NHL stars getting some ice time, getting some action, and putting up points on the board.
I have to admit, it's been fun to watch. I watched a little bit yesterday. It's sad but true. As soon as 11 o'clock came and the internet magically popped on, I was watching hockey already. Didn't take long. There was a couple games on today. Not surprisingly enough, Lev Prada lost again. I don't think that's the team that's going to win ever, it seems. And then Dynamo Moscow beat Dynamo Riga 2-0. But, I started looking at some of the numbers here, and obviously the articles and the Hockey Writers, a lot of excellent pieces.
I saw this week. Finally. And it's interesting to see now that Bruce Hollandrake is going to tweak the Hockey Writers overtime branch a little bit into something that I thought kind of needed to be done all along. Mixing in hockey with a little bit of social commentary and a few other avenues as well. Because let's face it, hockey's not just about hockey. There's a definite lifestyle aspect to it without it being campy and over the top like some other sites are, like, I don't know, Fourth Period, for example. I don't think you're going to see anytime soon on the Hockey Writers us selling scantily clad women on an article, let's be honest. But what you will get is a lot of great content and a lot of unique content that you won't find anywhere else. Obviously, coming up this week, I'm sure there'll be more CBA articles. You can follow the guys like Dan Rice, Michael Rappaport, Jeff Little, Mark Ritter, Josh, myself, Allie Myers. There's so many. There's almost 90 writers, actually. Well,
yep.
90 people total as a part of the Hockey Writer site. And probably at least a good 70 to 75 of them are relatively full-time writers.
Chris, I'll tell you what, it's the other good thing, if you're not acclimated to some of the other hockey leagues that are out there, your coverage of the OHL, the WHL, the AHL, like Chris mentioned, the KHL, there's all leagues covered, and it's a great way to jump in if you don't know a whole lot of what's going on. Fred Poulin did a great article on the PEI Rocket and Josh Curry and Ben Duffy, who I don't want to say came out of nowhere, but nobody expected them to be leading the scoring race there. So you can dive right in and figure out what's really exciting in some of the other leagues and, get a foothold and enjoy some of that hockey. It's a great way to get into it if you're not familiar with some of the other leagues that are out there and that are playing right now.
And I've said this for a while. Look, just because the NHL is not happening right now, it's not the end of the world. I know a lot of fans that you see all these groups and leagues and such that it's driven people to a level of frustration that hasn't been seen since the lamp lockout. But the fact of the matter is there's so much in the way of alternatives that you did not see 8 years ago. And it's something that we definitely wanted to point out. That pretty much completes another episode of the Hockey Writers Live. In the archive, we'll talk a little bit more hockey and toss a few things around the old round table. For, of course, yours truly, Josh Smith and Timothy Rosenthal. This is the Hockey Writers Live signing off. We will see you next week, same time, same place. Aloha.
Aloha.
Always nice to be back at the saddle, so to speak.